We're turning to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, and then we're going to mainly tonight be in Hebrews chapter 12. And so if you would get Hebrews chapter 10 in your Bibles and then also Hebrews chapter number 12, and we're going to look at a few verses in those two chapters tonight, Hebrews chapter 10 and then Hebrews chapter number 12. The Bible says, and again, I'll give you a little review before I read this verse in Hebrews chapter number 10. We're going to look down, by the way, in verse number 36. But I wanted to give you a little bit of a review. We last Sunday morning introduced our theme by preaching a message that had the theme in mind, the words press on. And we used the passage of Scripture that Paul gives to us in Philippians chapter number 3, verse 13 and 14. And really started back up in verse number 10 and went down through verse number 14 and gave us the thought that Paul is encouraging us when it comes to pressing towards that prize, that goal that God has set ahead to those who finish the race and run the race well with a disciplined life like we talked about this morning. And so we took the book of Philippians that Paul wrote there and encouraged you on that thought of press on. And then last Sunday evening, we went to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and we talked about the importance of endurance. And we took that passage of Scripture that says that we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And at times we will have hardships that we face, and we're to endure hardness. And really several illustrations were given in that passage that we read last Sunday night. We talked about the illustration of a soldier and how a soldier would endure hardness to be able to win the battle. And then we talked about the athlete that endures hardness. And then even the farmer as he sows and labors hard before he can reap, before he can get the end reward, the fruit of his labor, right? And then this morning, we took you to another passage of Scripture that was written by Paul. Of course, Philippians written by Paul and then 1 Timothy. And then we went to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we this morning were in verse 24 down through verse number 27. And we talked about the thought of pressing on with discipline in our lives. And we need to have discipline to press on in this race that God has put us in, this Christian race that we enter into the moment we trust Jesus as our Savior. And so someone that's lost in their sin, they haven't entered that Christian race yet. But you can enter it when you trust Christ as Savior. And God desires that we do our best in this race and that we finish the race well. And remember this morning, Paul gave us the encouragement to discipline ourselves in such a way where when we preach to others and where we minister to others and where we're serving others, that we would not be a castaway. We would not be useless and put on the shelf in the service of God, but that we can be useful. And we can do our best in this race and finish the race that God has called us to. And then we turn to the book of Hebrews. Now, I'm not going to try to debate this evening on this because some may disagree with me, but I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Some may feel different on that, but I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And so I believe we go to another passage of Scripture that Paul wrote to us. And we could go to Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10, and then we'll go to Hebrews chapter number 12. And then we'll be reminded of the truths that we see in Hebrews chapter number 11 as well. And we're going to again further this thought of pressing on and the endurance that's required in this Christian race that God has for us. And isn't it unique that Paul sets up all of these illustrations for us? He gives us all of these analogies, a lot of them related to athletics or sporting events. And Paul uses these illustrations for us so that we can understand them in an earthly way. And I hope this one will encourage you tonight as well because it's talking about the race that we're in. Just like last Sunday morning and Sunday night and the message this morning as well. So notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and down to verse number 36. It says, "For ye have need of patience." Now that word patience would go along with the thought of endurance. Paul is telling us that while you're living as a Christian on this earth, you have need of endurance. That, notice this is an encouragement for us. He says that after ye have done the will of God. Now God has a will for every life. We could certainly pause there for just a moment and talk about that. God has a will for every life. We talked this morning in Sunday school how we ought to be glad to do God's will. We talked about we used the word gladness, and we talked about being glad when it comes to receiving the Word of God, and glad when we serve the Lord. God has a will for our lives, and He wants us to be right in the center of that, doesn't He? He doesn't want us just to be willing to stop at His permissive will. He wants us to do His perfect will, doesn't He? And so, Paul, as he writes here in Hebrews chapter number 10, he talks about the importance of doing the will of God and getting it done, finishing when it comes to the will that God has for your life. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about serving the Lord with gladness. We were talking about serving the Lord with joy and rejoicing in our heart. And we went to the verse of Scripture in the book of Psalm, where in Psalm 40, the psalmist says this, "I delight to do thy will." I find gladness, I find joy, and it's the rejoicing of my heart, God, to do your will. And so Paul is encouraging us. He's saying, let's have endurance. We have need of being patient. We have need of endurance as we do the will of God. But then notice he says, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. God has a promise for us, doesn't he? He has a prize for us. He has a promise that waits at the end. And so, as Paul said this morning, we're not just aimlessly running this race. We're running that we could obtain the prize, so that we can win, so that we can get this promised prize that God has for us. And He also promises us a home in heaven as well, doesn't He? That we'll be able to spend eternity with Christ someday. And so then, in Hebrews chapter number 11, after we've read Hebrews chapter 10, and we focused on one verse there, but we're encouraged. And Paul encourages us here when it comes to the theme of endurance. But then we go to Hebrews chapter number 11, and we're certainly not going to read through that chapter. As a matter of fact, we're going to skip to Hebrews chapter number 12. But Hebrews chapter 11 encourages us as well, doesn't it? Because in Hebrews chapter number 11, we see the Bible examples of great faith. And God wants us to have great faith. We'll run the race with endurance so that we can receive the promise. And then he gives us all kinds of examples of Old Testament saints who lived a great life of faith. And then we come to Hebrews chapter number 12. And when we turn to Hebrews chapter number 12, we're going to focus on the first three verses in this chapter. This is where Paul uses this illustration for us of running the race again. And Paul returns to the theme of endurance. So we've noticed at the end of chapter number 10 of Hebrews, he is focusing on endurance. We need patience as we do the will of God, as we try to get the will of God done, as we try to accomplish the will of God. We need endurance. And then we see the great ladies and men of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. And then he returns to this theme of endurance here in Hebrews chapter number 12. And he is encouraging us to, guess what? Run the race. He's encouraging us to run the race, just like we were encouraged in Philippians chapter 3, just like we were encouraged in 1 Timothy chapter 2, just like we were encouraged this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, hey, there's a race to be run, and he's encouraging us to run the race. And so tonight in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, mainly verses 1 and 2, I want to give you some reminders for this race that we're in that Paul gives us here. Some reminders for the race that we are in. The first reminder that we want to see in Hebrews chapter number 12, the reminder is this, that there is a purging that must take place for the race. There's a purging for the race. That's the reminder that Paul tries to give us. In order to run the race the way that God has for you to run it, there's a purging that must take place. Notice what Paul says here in verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter number 12. He says this, number 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And by the way, we'll come back to that in just a moment. But notice the purging for the race. The purging is this, let us lay aside every weight. It is possible for Christians to have weights as they run the Christian life. What is a weight? He's talking about a weight here. He says we need to lay aside every weight. Well, that would be something in our life as a Christian that would be a hindrance. I remember when I was in college down at Pensacola, we had an evangelist that came in, and he came in for the very beginning of our semester. It would have been our fall semester, so that we were coming back from our summer break, and we were going into our fall semester. And I remember he opened up with they opened up with revival services there, and I believe they still do that down at Pensacola. They opened up with a revival meeting. And so we had evangelist Dave Young at the time. And by the way, Dave Young is still an evangelist traveling around the country. And he was there back when I was a student at Pensacola. And I remember him taking this passage of Scripture. And again, sometimes when you hear a message, it leaves such an impact on you, because this is something I have never forgotten. He talked about, and he actually used his hands to make illustrations for this. And maybe that's why I remembered it. It was a visual thing, I guess, an illustration. But he talked about how that in the Christian life we can have weights. Now, we just talked about how it's a hindrance. But he took his hands like this, and he said, there are things that, he said, a weight is something that pulls you back, or excuse me, I'm sorry, holds you back and pulls you down. And he used the illustration of a weight being something that holds you back and pulls you down. And you may even have heard me give that illustration before, because it has left such an impact in my mind. He talked about that being a weight, a hindrance that would be in our life, something that holds us back and pulls us down. Now, an Olympic athlete, they would wear very little, wouldn't they? Now, the reason why they would wear very little is because they don't want to slow themselves down because of weight that is on their body. They want to make sure that they're not draining their energy in a way that is unnecessary. So they would wear very little when it comes to the running that they would do in the Olympic events as an athlete. Well, weights are, we're encouraged here when it comes, in verse number one, to lay aside these weights. But you'll notice, and I'm not ready to get to this next part yet, but I wanted you to notice something as we go through here. He said, let us lay aside every weight, and then he says, and the sin. What I wanted you to notice about the purging that needs to take place for this race is, number one, we've got to purge the weights, but I want you to notice that weights are distinguished from sin. Because something that holds us back and pulls us down, or something perhaps that would be a hindrance in our life, would not necessarily be something that is sinful. Maybe not even something that would be wrong, but it can become wrong if it keeps us from running the race like we should. As a matter of fact, it might be that the thing that is holding you back and pulling you down may not be wrong for another Christian because it hasn't hindered the running of their race. But perhaps the weight that you have in your life, the hindrance, the thing that is holding you back and pulling you down, is hindering you from running the race like you should. So what does he say we're to do with these weights? Notice back up to verse number one. He said, let us lay aside. Let us lay aside these weights. So we're encouraged here in the book of Hebrews to lay them aside. Here's what we're encouraged to do. Lay them aside and you'll be able to run better. Lay them aside and you'll be able to run better. Lay them aside and you can finish your race without hindrances. You can be able to move on in this race that God has for you. And so I ask you tonight, only you would know, what may be your weight tonight? What may be in your life that is a hindrance, that's holding you back and pulling you down? You may not even be able to look into God's Word and see it necessarily as something even wrong or a hindrance. Maybe it's just in the way that you use your time. Maybe it's in the things that are recreations that may take you away from the true part of serving the Lord or spending time with the Lord. Whatever it would be, you say, it might not even be something that's sinful, but yet it's holding me back and pulling me down. But then he does get to sin, though, doesn't he? Notice what the Bible says. We're talking about a purging for the race. Hey, we need to purge ourselves so that we can run this race the right way. And I'm not talking about forgiveness of sins that took place when we asked Jesus to be our Savior. I'm talking about sins that are along the way in our Christian life that we need to confess and we need to move on from so that we can run the race the right way. Notice what he says in verse number one again. He said, let us lay aside every weight, and notice this, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Here's what he's trying to say. Let's lay aside the sin that entangles us. That entangles us. Now, how many sins would be included in that? It would be every one, wouldn't it? notice what he says. He says, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Any sin that's going to entangle us, all sins that would entangle us, he's saying that we must get rid of them. Notice what he says again. We're to lay aside. Lay aside. So we've laid aside every weight, and we're to lay aside every sin. We must get rid of that sin. You know, the Bible talks to us in chapter number 11 of Hebrews. Now, we didn't read any of those verses. You're probably pretty familiar with Hebrews chapter number 11, that great hall of faith chapter there. But the Bible in Hebrews chapter number 11 is talking about faith. Do you realize that one of, just by using Hebrews chapter number 11 as an illustration, one of the things that we could struggle with in our lives as Christians that would be sinful is a lack of faith. Just right there, we could go back to Hebrews chapter number 11 and have an illustration even right there before us. It could be that I lack the faith that God wants me to have. So you know what your sin is, you know what your weight is, and you need to lay it aside. And you know what your sin is, and you need to lay it aside. It may be sins of commission, it may be sins of omission, things that we are doing that we shouldn't be doing, or things that we're not doing that we ought to be doing. But he said, let's lay aside those weights. Let's lay aside those sins, the things that entangle us. Now, we've got good news when we want to lay aside sin, don't we? God says all we got to do is confess it, right? That's some good news, isn't it? All we have to do is confess it and forsake it. And then the Bible says we'll have mercy. We can take it to God and confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, in Bible times, they would wear long robes. But they couldn't run with a long robe, could they? So they had one of two choices when they would start to run. It would entangle their legs if they started to try to run with that long robe. So they would either pull that robe up and kind of tuck it down into their belt, or they would just cast it aside. That's what God's trying to say about our sin, isn't he? Just cast it aside. Don't allow it to entangle you. Don't allow it to trip you up. Don't allow it to cause you to stumble as a Christian in this race that God has for you. And again, you know what your weight is. I know what my weight may be. You know what your sin is. I know what my sin may be, that we need to get right with the Lord so that we can run that race that God has for us. Look with me, if you would, at James chapter number 1. We're real close to the book of James. And notice what he says in James chapter number 1 and verse number 14. He says this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Notice verse number 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do you see the importance of when God encourages us to lay aside sin? What ultimately is the result of sin? Ultimately the result is death. God is encouraging us through the book of Hebrews here to lay aside our sin. You can't run the race like God wants you to run if you keep tripping over your sins. If you keep stumbling over your sins, if you keep becoming entangled by these sins that God wants you to lay aside. So number one, the purging for the race. But another reminder that Paul gives us, another reminder here in the book of Hebrews, number two, persistence for the race. Number one, purging for the race. We've got to lay aside weights. We've got to lay aside sins. And then number two, persistence for the race. Now, we've been bringing up this word persistence a lot, haven't we? And we've got to keep at it. We've got to have endurance in our life. Guess what? Paul talks about it again. Last Sunday night, we talked about how he said that we ought to endure hardness as a good soldier. He talks about persistence. He talks about endurance again. So we need to have a purging for the race, and then we need to be persistent in our race as well. Notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 12 again now. After we've laid aside the weight, after we've laid aside the sin and there's a purging that takes place for the race, then we want to be reminded of the persistence for the race. Look at what he says. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now we've got some encouragement in the end of that verse. The first way that we are encouraged is just simply by the word patience. Notice how he says we're to run the race. Let us run with patience. That word patience has the idea of continuing endurance. Just to endure and continue in endurance. to make sure that we are patiently continuing to endure when it comes to this race that God has put us in. Just keep at it. As our theme says this year, just press on. Just be persistent in this race that God has put you in. Now, he gives us great examples. Remember, I told you we would come back to this in just a moment. The very beginning of the chapter, notice what he says. He said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." We've got a great example already set before us in Hebrews chapter number 11, don't we? Well, if you've never read through those great ladies and men of faith there in Hebrews 11, it would be a great challenge to take on in your Christian life to read through there in Hebrews chapter number 11 and notice the great examples that are set before us. We've got these Old Testament saints in chapter number 11, and they're an example, and they're an encouragement to us to keep running. When we feel like quitting, just keep running. To endure, to continuing, to have a continual endurance. You think about the all sorts of trials that these individuals endured. And if we would just stay there in Hebrews chapter number 11, those were the only illustrations that we could give. It would be enough for us to have encouragement, enough for us to have examples where we can look at the trials that they went through and they endured their trials by faith. We can look at what they faced, these Old Testament saints, what they faced, and we can say assuredly that we can endure as well. If they were able to endure and they were able to persistently press on, we can do it as Christians as well. But notice another great truth that God gives us here. Boy, this is an encouragement. Notice what he says in the last few words of verse number 1. This is an encouragement. He says we're to endure in the race. We're to have patience. We're to continually endure. But notice what he says. The race that is set before us. Now here's what we want to remember about those last three words. This race is set before us. Can we be reminded of the one who set the race before us? God was the one who set this race before us, didn't he? God was the one who has set the course for our life. Can we say this? If we're reminded of the great character traits of God, one of the greatest character traits we could ever say about our God is that he is sovereign. He is in control of everything. And he knows the course that he has set you on. As a matter of fact, if we would go to verse number 2, and we're not quite to verse number 2 in the message yet, but look at what verse number 2 says about the course that Jesus was on. Notice it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was, notice the next three words, set before him. Just like we see the last three words of verse number 1, the race that is set before us. Jesus had a course that was set before him. Jesus had the joy that was set before him, the joy that he knew he was going to experience when he died on the cross to purchase the payment for our sins. So God set the course for Jesus. And what was the course? To go to the cross. He has set a course for us, hasn't he? And so the one who is sovereign over all is the one who has set the course for us. And you may say, well, I don't like parts of this course that God has me on. You know, to be quite honest, to be quite frank with you, I don't like part of this chorus, but don't grumble, just keep at it, and remember that God was the one who set the course. God was the one who planned the course for your life according to his purpose, may I remind you as well. There's a song in the hymnal, and I want to take time to read through the words of it. Hymn number 290, and boy, does this remind us of the truth. When we see at the end of verse number 1 of Hebrews that he has set this course before us. This song is entitled, or this hymn is entitled, "My Father Planned It All." God had a plan for us, didn't he? He had a course for us, and he set it before us. And we're to do the best we can to persistently run on in this course and to get to that finish line. Listen to the words of this song. It says, "What though the way be lonely and dark the shadows fall, I know where'er it leadeth, my Father planned it all. There may be sunshine tomorrow, shadows may break and flee." You ever had that kind of a day? Sunshine and shadows, 'twill be the way he chooses, the Father's plan for me. He guides my faltering footsteps along the weary way. Have you ever had a time where you're weary? God set you on the course, and he didn't make a mistake, did he? The end of verse number 3 of this hymn, "For well he knows the pathway will lead to endless day." The last verse of this hymn, "A day of light and gladness, on which no shade will fall. 'Tis this at last awaits me. My Father planned it all." The course is a wonderful truth in this hymn. It says, "I sing through the shade and the sunshine. I'll trust him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent." Why? Because my Father planned it all. God had a plan. He set us out on this course, and we're to be persistent in this course that he has set us on. You won't be able to run the right way unless you submit to his will. He has a course for you. We submit to his will, and we press on persistently in his will that he has laid out for us. But then let's look at the last truth. Number one, as we've gone through this, we've seen the purging for the race. And then number two, the persistence for the race. But then lastly, boy, this is an encouragement as we move to verse number two. I want you to notice the perspective for the race. The perspective for the race. Notice what the Bible says in verse number two. Notice just the first three words, "looking unto Jesus." What a perspective for the race. I get to run this race, and the whole time I'm running it, I get to look to Jesus. Notice what it says here, "the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus." Perhaps that means taking your eyes off of other things, maybe perhaps even other people, and focusing on him alone. He is to be our focus, isn't he? He is the motivation in running this race, because my perspective is I get to look to Jesus. Runners that may run in an athletic competition that would be in poor shape, they can gradually slow down, and eventually they'll come to a place where they stop. And so it would be in the Christian life as well. A believer who's not looking to Jesus by faith, he'll fail in his race. It'll remind you of an athlete that's not in the proper shape. He hasn't trained the way he should. And for the Christian, it's just simply the fact that we're not focusing on him. We're not looking at him like we ought to. I want you to notice two things when it comes to the perspective for the race. Number one, our perspective, number one, is on the person of Jesus Christ. We could say it this way, his presence in our life. Isn't it great to know that as you run this race, he's always here with us? Matter of fact, even before he went to heaven and he gave us that great commission, he said, "And lo, I am with you always." Aren't you glad to know that God the Father and God the Son in heaven and God the Holy Spirit even indwelling us as Christians while we're here on earth? For every step of the race, his presence and the person of Jesus Christ is here with us to encourage us along the way. Matter of fact, he even uses some illustrations to describe our faith while we're here on earth as we look to Jesus. Notice the illustrations that he gives. He says, "looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher." The author and the finisher. That word author has the idea of the fact that Jesus is the originator of our faith. He is the source of our faith. Can I say this? He's the object of your faith. You may have heard it said before, but it's so true. It's not about how strong our faith is. It's the object in which we're putting our faith in. You can have strong faith, but the object can be the wrong source. Jesus, he's the originator of our faith. He's the source of it. He's the object of our faith. And can I encourage you in this tonight? He daily renews our faith, doesn't he? He daily helps us when we need that faith to walk another day, to run the race another day. We sing that hymn in our hymnal, "Living by Faith in Jesus Above." He's renewing our faith. But then notice it also describes Jesus as the finisher of our faith. He's the author of our faith, and he's the finisher of our faith as well. He brings our faith to completion. Isn't it great to know that one day, by faith, we're going to get to see that which we have not seen yet? He's going to bring it to completion. We're going to get to lay our eyes on Jesus one day, aren't we? We've never seen him. We've never seen heaven, although we believe it's true. By faith, He's going to finish our faith, isn't he? He's going to bring it to completion one day. And our eyes will get to behold him, and our eyes will get to behold all the glories of heaven. Hey, it reminds us of what Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll complete it. He'll finish it. He'll get it done through you. But then the second thing I want you to see about the perspective for the race, not only his presence and the person of Jesus Christ with us, but also the pattern that he leaves for us. Did you notice there's an example that Jesus has left for us? Notice this as we finish verse number 2. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? What an example, right? Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now we see a couple different truths in this that we've really got to notice. His pattern for us. But before we go to the thought that the end of verse number 2 gives us about Jesus being a perfect example when he endured the suffering of the cross, let's go back up to those words that we just described for you, the author and the finisher of our faith, because they have some additional meanings that we have to make sure we understand. That word author also has the idea of a leader or a captain. Can I encourage you that Jesus is the one who goes before us like a leader would? Like a captain, perhaps on a boat or in a plane. He's going before us and he is showing us the way. What a pattern that Jesus gives for us. He gives us a pattern that we can follow. Shows us how to live by faith. But then the other word that describes Jesus, not only is he the one that leads and he's the one that shows us the pattern for our life, but he's also the finisher of our faith. Aren't you encouraged tonight to know that Jesus finished his course? He finished his course. And I want you to think about the course that he endured. Now remember, it was the plan of God that he would endure the cross for the joy that was set before him. But imagine the pain and the suffering of the course that God had laid out for Jesus. Suffering like we could never describe anyone would ever go through on earth. Even if an individual would say, well, we could talk of other individuals that have been crucified, but it wasn't just that Jesus was crucified, it was that he took our sin for us, didn't he? The enduring of the cross, the fact that he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith, and he finished his course. He endured the cross. He completed the work that God gave him to do. Would you agree with me? He left a pattern for us, didn't he? If he could complete the work that God gave to him, even enduring the cross, we can finish, can't we? We can complete the task that God has given to us. He has given us a pattern of completing the race. He finished the race that God gave to him. But then I want you to notice one more pattern that Jesus gives to us. Remember last Sunday morning, we talked about, I press toward the mark for the prize. This morning we talked about how when Paul said, know ye not that those that run in a race run all, and one receives the prize. Now over the course of the last two Sundays, we've been talking a lot about the prize. The reward that God has for us. Did you notice in that verse that Jesus is a pattern of not only completing and not only finishing his course, but he's also a wonderful pattern to you and I of the final reward that takes place when you finish? Notice what it says at the very end of verse number 2, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, the most exalted place in all of the universe. And you know, that was the prize. He finished his course. He did what God had planned for him to do. And he finished the course, and now he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you want to be encouraged? You want to be encouraged? Well, look to Jesus. But you want further proof that you can be encouraged when you run this race? We'll finish with verse 3. Notice what verse 3 says, for consider him. Just consider Jesus. Concentrate on him a little bit. Think about him a little bit. Hey, when you get to the place where you feel like quitting, yes. We do have the Old Testament saints as examples. And Old Testament saints are encouragement. But I tell you, there's no example like the example of Jesus Christ. There's no pattern like the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be encouraged? You just consider him a little while. That endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And notice what it says at the end. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When you're at a place where you need a little encouragement, when you're at a place where you feel a little weary, just like the song, My Father Planned It All said, there are days where we get a little weary. When you have moments where you're a little weary and where you feel like maybe perhaps fainting or even quitting in the race, and you're weary and you're fainting in your minds, just look to Jesus. Just consider him. Know his presence and his person is always with you, and notice that he's left us a great pattern. So let's notice tonight the purging for the race. In your life, is there some purging that needs to take place? Are there some weights that you need to lay aside? Are there some sins that you need to lay aside? Let's not try to get to a place, and I'll try to say this as best as I can, let's not try to get to a place where we feel like we can't make any improvement. Are there some weights that we need to lay aside, some sins that we need to lay aside? Let's notice the purging for the race and then the persistence in the race. Would you persist in your race? Would you endure, patiently enduring, continuing endurance? And keep in mind that God has set the course for you. And he doesn't make mistakes. You may say, well, there's bumps along the way and maybe I don't like everything I'm going through. But realize God has set the course and we can trust him, can't we? And then the perspective for the race. The fact that we have his presence and we have the person of Jesus Christ always with us as we run this race. And he's left us a great pattern of finishing the race and then the prize that awaits us at the end. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, just for a moment.